Caden pretended to consider the question, largely to buy time to compose himself.
Depends on what you have on that tray, I suppose.
Oh, go ahead. Just kill all the suspense, why don't you?
Celia fumed, pushing past him with the cart in tow.
I think you did that when you forgot to hide the tray around a corner, he retorted.
The door shut behind him as he stepped away from it, following her to a four-person sitting table where she began to unload the dishes. The smell of breakfast foods, hash browns, pancakes, and syrup, wafted up to entice a stomach he hadn't realized was quite so empty.
Remind me why I do anything nice for you.
Honestly, I have no idea. Caden laughed weakly. I'm sorry, Celia. I'm a jerk when I wake up.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
She smirked, shifting the dishes one by one from the trolley to the table. It looked delicious. More than that, it looked normal. One thing Caden had discovered, even before he first stepped foot inside the tower, was that he should never trust Elon cooking. The tower's denizens looked mostly human, acted mostly human, and were, as he understood it, more or less biologically human, but they had very different taste when it came to food. Bitter foods were among their favorites, and spicy, or worse yet, slimy foods had a place at every breakfast table as far as they were concerned. They could be taught to cook regular meals, of course, but dining with an Elon you didn't know was begging for disaster. With unknown Elon military cooks expected to prepare their meals, he'd already resigned himself to a week of survival on trail rations and whatever snacks he had left in his pack. To see such a bounty, it almost brought a tear to his eye.
Did you?
Caden asked, despite knowing the answer. Celia shrugged in response, her expression nonchalant as she took a seat.
I owe you.
Oh.
His head shook as he settled into the seat opposite her.
Celia, if you owe anyone, it is Michael.
I already have,
she explained with a giggle.
Unlike someone, he was up at a reasonable hour.
Caden's hand lingered imperceptibly as he reached for a stack of pancakes on a nearby plate. It took everything he had not to frown, and even more to bite his tongue.
Ah.
Considering the playful light that began to dance in Celia's eyes, everything he had wasn't enough.
Caden, are you jealous?
Celia asked, a very feminine giggle falling from her lips.
I mean, I'm flattered and all, but...
I'm not jealous,
he said flatly, suddenly more interested in syrup than conversation.
You are. You totally are.
The high school queen bee Celia would have been if not for Babel was in full force now as a smirk played over her lips.
Is it because he's more handsome than you?
That stung more than he'd like to admit.
Really, Celia?
Hey, I made you breakfast. I get to tease.
I saved your life, he retorted.
Celia wiggled a finger in front of him.
Actually, Michael saved my life. You said it yourself.
The girl pondered for a moment before adding,
Okay, maybe not good looks. Level envy?
Oh, just eat your pancakes.
Yeah, I didn't think that was it.
She continued, not giving his words a second thought.
Afraid he is going to steal me when all this is over?
Could we not?
He half-asked, half-begged.
Nope.
Celia shook her head vigorously.
Silver had me eating crow for weeks about how you and I met. Let me have this.
Silence reigned at the table for a moment before Caden, at last, offered a heavy sigh.
It isn't just you.
He held up a hand to forestall any inquiries.
And yes, part of it is you. Try not to get a big head about it.
Too late.
I just don't like him.
Caden shrugged.
I'm trying not to make a deal out of it, because I know I'm just being petty. I've been, like, the guy around our party for a while. Feels weird to have someone else people are admiring and looking to for leadership.
You think I admire you?
Celia asked slyly.
Well, you did stalk me for my autograph.
You go to a dungeon for an autograph one time.
Celia rolled her eyes, digging into a few bites of the meal before her before she added.
I didn't go through all this effort for him, you know?
Hmm? He cocked his head to one side.
The breakfast, I mean,
she explained.
I said thank you, yeah. He kept me alive, but you kept all of us alive. Don't think that I don't know the difference.
A small smile pulled at his lips, though Caden was less than pleased with the light blush that crept up along with it.
Besides, he's DPS and you are a tank. You're harder to replace.
Celia reached across the table, patting him on the cheek with a manicured hand.
And you're not too awful to look at.
An hour later, after a breakfast of delicious pastries and merciless teasing, Caden, at last, made his way down through the winding halls to the strategy room.
Our fearless leader emerges, Shifty said, eliciting a small rumble of laughter from both Michael and Silver as the three milled about the edge of the warframe, with his two Elon advisors trailing off in mid-conversation to give him their full attention.
Good morning to you two, Caden replied with a chipperness he did not entirely feel. Didn't expect to see you up so early, Silver.
The mage shrugged, but made no effort to disguise the smugness of her smirk as she taunted him.
I woke up around the same time you did. I just didn't have a breakfast date.
Beside him, Celia's neck began to adopt a rosy hue, but Caden kept on without blinking.
Understandable. When was the last time you had a date?
The harsh clearing of a throat interrupted any further banter, all eyes drawn to Valseris, as the prim proper soldier did his best to conceal the particular disdain he had for their back and forth.
Good evening, Field Marshal. He began. Everyone is here as instructed. Shall we begin?
And I thought you were a killjoy,
Celia whispered from his side, drawing only an incredulous glance in reply.
Thank you, Valseris, Caden responded.
He then motioned to the warframe.
Have you explained the functions of the warframe to those who weren't here this morning?
I have, Caden,
Roberta said.
As much as they were interested in it in any case.
Shifty shrugged.
This sort of thing is what we keep you around for in the first place, isn't it?
Caden considered for a moment, then nodded.
I suppose it is. All the same, though, can you at least let Valseris instruct you in the basics at some point? Never know when we might be in a situation where I'm not available.
Sure thing,
the older man said, unconvincingly.
Field Marshal, a few small matters require your attention before we begin,
Roberta added, sensing an opportunity.
I suspected as much. Let's sort them quickly.
As both Caden and Silver had surmised, the day was indeed separated into three turns. The first began sometime after dawn, the second just after noon, and the third in the late afternoon a few hours before dusk. It had taken some digging, but they had discovered a timer function that could be activated on the frame itself and, perhaps more crucially, a turn order function. The way it currently stood, each portion of the day was divided into three parts. Monster, player, warden. Any local monsters large enough to qualify as settlements acted first on each turn, with roughly an hour devoted to them. Next came Caden's turn, which lasted approximately 2.5 hours. After that, the wardens acted for an equal amount. The whole thing repeated itself twice more. Then night fell, and no one acted until the following morning. There were still a few hiccups in his understanding. If the other players were using warframes or devices similar to warframes, then they either shared a turn with him or, for some reason, were not included on the current turn order. He'd have to get in touch with the others to be sure, but until he was, he didn't dare touch the end turn button, for fear it might negatively impact their plans. And that was currently his best-case scenario. The only other alternative he had worked out with Silver was that the turn order only took into account nearby groups. If his faction was far enough away from Ilo that his troops wouldn't be able to interact with theirs during a turn, then why include them? It made sense, but the suggestion was troubling all the same. If it was true, that meant there were warden troops within striking range of Bastion itself.
Per your orders, I withdrew magical energy from the city's reserve to empower my casting, This allowed us to complete the lower township and keep repairs, as you can see here.
Roberta motioned to the warframe, where a pair of golden icons glowed and dimmed for his attention. Caden touched one, and it formed into a small text box, informing him the lower township repair was complete, something he already knew. The other, the keep repair, was more interesting.
Keep repair complete. Influence plus 5. Food storage plus 50. Field supply limit plus 100. The throne room is now available for audiences.
Something about the way the term audiences struck a chord with the gamer part of Caden, but the thought had to be pushed aside as Roberta continued.
We should assign new production before the end of the turn so as not to waste the labor of our craftsmen.
Perish the thought, Caden grinned. Any suggestions?
I wouldn't begin to presume, Field Marshal.
He scoffed.
It isn't a presumption when you are asked, Roberta.
Caden pulled up the Warframe's production menu and touched each of the two new options in turn.
Lower Township Repair. Lower in class as much as location, this district grows the backbone of any fledgling town. 2 of 6. Cost, 40 production, civilian housing, plus 500. Production, plus 2. Keep repair. Preliminary repairs of the keep are now underway. 2 of 6. Cost, 20 production. Influence, plus 10. Food storage, plus 50. Field supply limit, plus 50. Additional areas of the keep will become accessible.
Indeed,
she replied, studying the new options in turn.
Further repair of the lower township would be in keeping with your original goal of favoring production. It would also put us that much closer to having sufficient housing for the 1,000 Elan population you desired.
My thoughts exactly, Caden said. Despite the confidence in his words, a frown did still cross his face.
I would also like to get at least the outer walls repaired sooner rather than later, however. If the wardens are closer than we think, we'd be better off having a defense than not. I do not necessarily think repairing the walls would be wise at this juncture, Field Marshal.
The uncharacteristic interjection from Valseris was enough to raise eyebrows on both Elan and human, the two turning to regard him as he continued his thought.
We know the location of the primary tomb, suggesting that any local forces would be comparatively weak. If they are not, minor repairs to our wall will be pointless. If they are, then prioritizing repairs with an upkeep cost would be doubly wasteful.
A moment of staggered silence followed the appraisal, with Roberta being the first to speak.
He raises some significant points.
That he does,
Caden smiled. He gave the other man a nod of approval, then continued.
We will continue our focus on the lower township for the time being.
Caden tapped his orders into the warframe as he spoke. There was no need to give the instructions verbally, but it felt right to do so all the same.
16 production per turn should leave us with 8 left over on the third turn. Let's devote that to repair of the keep.
Something in mind, Caden?
Roberta asked. He shook his head.
Call it a hunch that the additional areas will be more beneficial than the influence boosts let on.
As you will,
she agreed.
If you will excuse me, I'd best attend to my task before the turn end.
Get some sleep afterward, he replied.
I'm sorry?
She asked, as though confused.
That applies to both of you, Caden continued. You do a damn good job at hiding it, but I don't think either of you have taken much more than a few hours of sleep for well over a day now. I appreciate the loyalty and the work ethic, but I need you fresh during our turns when it matters.
The two Elan exchanged glances, something unspoken passing between them. Relief followed, and the pair smiled as they replied.
With pleasure, Marshal.
As Roberta retreated, Caden turned his attention to his fellow players. He closed out of the majority of the windows on the warframe and beckoned for them to take up positions around the table before he began. Once they were settled, with all faces turned expectantly in his direction, Caden pulled the map out until it displayed an overview of the floor itself, with Ilo and Sune to the west and northwest, and the Tomb of the Liar King still further beyond those.
I'm no good at inspirational pep talks, and you'll all probably laugh at me anyways, so let's cut to the meat of things.
Caden stabbed a finger at the tomb displayed on the map.
This is our enemy. Assuming their ground troops move at the same speed as ours, they can be here in as little as 7 days. If they move faster, which isn't unreasonable, that number gets cut down further.
The announcement had a predictable effect. Even Silver, who had worked out the calculations with him, seemed somewhat unnerved. That was good. He wanted them, needed them, to take this seriously.
If Duke Alazio is to be believed, and I don't have a single reason not to, the capture of this keep is a flat game over for everyone on the floor. The wardens know this, and they're probably going to come at us with everything.
Could we maybe have the pep talk after all? Shifty asked, after an awkward moment of silence.
Everyone laughed, but the tension was still there as Caden continued.
Well, that was the end of the bad news, if that makes you feel any better.
It didn't seem to.
Well, what is the good news? Michael asked when no one else seemed willing to speak.
Silver pointed at the map by way of response.
Geography, for starters. We've got Ilo between them and us. Unless their army is so massive that they can siege the city and attack us at the same time, they're going to want to deal with Ilo first. Any alternative leaves an army at their back, both as a threat to them and the tomb, which is untenable.
We can send our forces to assist Ilo rather than fight the wardens piecemeal,
Caden continued from where she left off.
And this river...
The Rikes, Valseris clarified.
The Rikes, Caden repeated for his own benefit, has only 2 crossings, making it ideal as a fallback point to defend.
Celia studied the map with narrowed eyes, as if trying to spot some hole in their plan.
Then what?
Hopefully it doesn't come to that, Silver admitted. This is a game event, which means it is expected that we can beat it. While the Elan are doing the dying, holding off the wardens, our job is going to be to find and return whatever it was that was stolen to put a stop to this before it comes to a head.
And if we can't?
Celia pressed.
Do you want to tell them, or should I? Caden asked.
Silver graciously waved a hand in his direction.
Your plan.
All eyes were on him now, and Caden found he didn't like it.
I don't play a lot of war games, but my dad did. One of the things he taught me is to look for a secondary way to win. Securing the objectives is nice, but if you can't do that, consider standing knee-deep in your opponent's blood, he used to say.
Charming fella, Michael snorted.
Like father, like son,
teased Celia.
My point is, there is no guarantee we will be able to find and return the artifact easily. The owner might be dead in a ditch somewhere so far away from anything meaningful that we will never find him,
Caden continued, doing his best to ignore the peanut gallery.
Which is why I started counting distance and time. We need to stretch this out for 29 days.
The others looked at one another, each wondering if they were perhaps the only one that didn't see what Caden was getting at.
29 days left on her death penalties, he explained. Then Silver is our walking, talking win condition.
Chapter 11 Day 1 Morning Turn Aleph couldn't begin to fathom why he, of all the men detached for service with this Caden, had been promoted. Exceptional qualities under stress, the Lord General had said when he had arrived to pin the rank to his chest. A proven track record of worthy behavior, and a sterling example to fellow soldiers who would now serve under his command. It was a load. Then again, nothing about the bloodline descendants the players ever made much sense at all. He knew half a dozen of his fellow soldiers who might have made a more qualified commander for the newly formed Fighting First. men more adept at combat, more talented speakers, or those who had already formed strong bonds of trust with the soldiers who were eventually organized into the new formation. Any of them would have made a more qualified leader. Instead, the player had picked him.
"And people act like they're so damn smart," Aleph grumbled.
There was nothing for it, however. An order was an order, and he wouldn't be moved to pity himself. Better to lead the unit as best he could than to show dishonor or irresoluteness in the face of friend or foe. The pommel of his longsword crashed against the steel of his shield with a resounding cacophony that drew the attention of every eye in his formation. They were 100 strong, himself included, a force to be reckoned with, even if their leader was a rank amateur. In the hour they had been waiting under the beating sun, he had let discipline slip away just enough to top off morale. Let the men talk. Let them gossip and babble away their fear while they waited. There was no risk of ambush, and these men knew well enough to fall into ranks the moment the order came down, even without his bellowing voice throwing orders. Not that it stopped him from bellowing them all the same.
"Get into line before I make you!"
Aleph shouted, striking his shield once more, this time with the crossguard of his weapon. Just down the field, he could see two other units gathering themselves. Bastion's second had become a bit of a rival formation as a result of the previous day's practice, and his men were eager to show that they, not the second, would be the premier unit of the newly restored city. The other unit was so green, they'd only been formed that very morning. Aleph hadn't even been given time to introduce himself to whatever poor sod Valseris, rather, the Lord General, had placed in charge. Despite that, they'd been given the honor of going first into combat. The tactic had been explained to them during the march out to the vicinity of the mine, but it still rankled. This new unit, officially Bastion's 3rd Infantry, and unofficially the Pointy 3rd, were spear-wielders. Their job was to engage defensively, to bait out any surprises that the enemy might have in store for them, and do a bit of damage in the process. Once that was done, the first would step in and hit the enemy with full force. Ideally, they'd wipe them out in a single engagement. If not, the second would be there to clean up what was left. It should be as simple as that. The scouts who had investigated the mine the previous evening hadn't been able to give a direct accounting of the beast men who called it home, but their best guess was less than 100. Aleph might not trust his new commander quite yet, but he liked anyone who sent them into combat with the odds at least 3-1 in their favor. The whooping battle cry of the Pointy 3rd drew Aleph's attention. Things were underway now. Ahead of him, he could see one of the twisted beast men gesticulating wildly. There was shouting among the enemy, the sound of horns. Slowly, the creatures began to emerge from the mines, slavering muzzles drooling saliva, knuckles dragging along soil at the end of oversized, twisted arms. Each creature was different in its disfigurement. A hunchback here, a milky white eye there. It was unsettling to even look at the monsters, their rusted gear and haphazard armor a parody of the Elon equipment. All the same, it was good to see them at all. There had been significant concern that the beastmen would not come to the surface for a stand-up fight. The Lord General had been convinced that they would, of course, yet Aleph suspected it had less to do with the creatures wishing to meet their doom head-on, as had been suggested, and more to do with the fact that the mine did not have a rear exit. If the animals wanted to retreat from this combat, they had to advance out of the quarry where the mine was located. Anything was better than fighting the fiends at close corners in the winding tunnels of the mines. The beast men had superior vision in the dark, and the Bastion soldiers' numbers would count for little or nothing in such close quarters. Fortunate for them that the monsters weren't tactically inclined. A rough line began to form in the quarry. Like the creatures themselves, their formation was ragged, and Aleph suspected it would be easily broken when the battle was well and truly joined. Speaking of which, he thought with a grim smile. The pointy third had begun to advance, three ranks of spear-wielding soldiers marching down the shallow slope towards an enemy that raged and spat in their direction. Aleph didn't speak Beastman, but he still felt the intent of the obscenities being lobbed in their direction, even if the specifics eluded him. The ground closed between the two forces, spear tips lowering, the Beastmen charging.
"Here we
go," Caden murmured under his breath, trying to conceal his unease. He didn't want Valseris hearing him, or worse yet, Silver. It wasn't that he thought the plan would fail. He'd spent hours the previous evening, and a few more when he'd awoken before dawn, going over every facet of this strategy. The attack would work. The mine would be theirs before the Beastmen ever got a turn to respond. His concern was keeping friendly casualties as close to zero as possible, and if he was honest with himself, how he'd react if he couldn't manage that. Which was why he struggled to keep his face impassive as he watched. The last thing he needed was another lecture on how the purpose of expendable lives was to be expended. In front of him, the two formations crashed into one another. Just over 50 Beastmen threw themselves over and over into the defensive wall of shields and spears that was the pointy third, a name Celia had suggested when neither Caden nor Silver could come up with anything better. It was going well, at least, as far as Caden could tell. The third was holding formation, the front line absorbing the brunt of the flailing assault, while the rear two did the majority of the damage with pole arms thrust over shoulders or between specially formed gaps in the shield. For a unit that hadn't existed until early this morning, the third was giving a marvelous accounting of themselves.
"Looks like there aren't any tricks," Silver observed passively.
"Certainly seems that way," Caden nodded. Their original plan had called for a combined formation attack, with Aleph, or possibly even Valseris himself, leading a 300-man unit to simply overwhelm the Beastmen with sheer numbers. Not exactly elegant or clever, but in terms of practicality, the attack in defense of such a unit would have been second to none. It was a plan they had to put the kibosh on, only after Celia noted the obvious flaw, that any sprung trap could run the risk of destroying a majority of their forces in a single bad engagement. Needless to say, both Caden and Silver had felt suitably foolish for not considering that possibility.
"Number 12. One of my advisors will be an average 5-year-old child," he said with a wry grin.
"Hmm?" Silver asked, giving him a look that was only mildly more befuddled than the expression on Valseris's face. Caden chuckled. "An ancient list of things you should and should not do if you become an evil overlord. Like how you shouldn't turn into a snake."
"Yeah," Silver replied. "That never helps."
Before Valseris could voice any of the no doubt numerous questions that he had in mind, the combat began to reach its conclusion. As expected, the Beastmen had lost the engagement, which left this as the moment of truth. The defeated enemy had only two directions to which they could retreat. They could delve back into the caves, which Valseris assured him would be a nightmare of tunnel warfare that might be best fought by the players themselves if they planned to avoid casualties. Or they could retreat into the empty hex Caden had left between the combat and the front line. They chose the latter.
"Yes!"
Caden shouted, pounding his knuckles down on the side of the warframe. Beside him, Silver was grinning from ear to ear, and even blue-skinned Valseris couldn't entirely conceal his delight at a plan well struck.
"As expected, Field Marshal. Well done."
"We should be thanking them, not me," Caden replied, ignoring the look of distaste from Silver in favor of the results being displayed in the combat log. The pointy third, defensive formation, attacks Beastman formation, attack value 1,350 versus defense value 870. The pointy third deals 39 damage to Beastman formation. Beastman formation attacks the pointy third, defense formation, attack value 870 versus defense value 2,500.
Beastman formation deals 2 damage to the pointy third.
That went better than expected,
Silver said as she finished reading the results.
To put it mildly, their plans had assumed the worst-case scenario estimate of 100 Beastmen given by the scouting reports, which would have put their actual damage received closer 17. With the numbers so much lower, this wasn't so much a battle as it was a slaughter.
Shall we send in the first to wipe them out? Valseris asked.
Yeah, but let's take them off of Blitz, Caden smiled. I don't think they're going to need it.
The order came like a jolt to Aleph's mind. Attack. He'd been waiting on pins and needles since the first clash of bodies, since the first inhuman scream had reached their ears. These beast men were nothing. Poorly equipped, barely trained. They had unusual physical strength, enough to overcome some of their disadvantages if they'd had the numbers. But they didn't have the numbers, or the leadership, or the morale. The creatures fled from the third, some with literal tails between their legs. They fled for the safety of the open plains, but in such a disorganized fashion that they didn't even stop to consider the other 2 Elon forces standing between them and their escape.
Looks like they've forgotten we're here,
Aleph shouted, to a round of laughter from his men. They were nervous. He could see it on their faces. Any man going into combat would be. But this nervousness lacked the normal fear that accompanied the din of battle. His men were nervous. They wouldn't get their chance at a war story.
What do you say we go remind them?
A series of bellowing whoops, joined by the clash of steel against shields, was the only reply Aleph could hear. And it was the only one he needed.
Bastion First Company! Fighting first! March!
Well-disciplined boots stomped foliage underfoot as the Elon advanced down into the quarry area. The Beastmen had made it halfway up the slope in their retreat before the sight of the other 2 Elon formations had given them pause, and even now Aleph could see the fear behind beady eyes. Should they retreat, try and fight their way back through the third at their rear, soldiers who had rounded to act as the anvil to Aleph's hammer? The first didn't give them the chance to decide. They broke into a steady jog on their way down the slope, shouting and hollering, weapons upraised to let the fiends know what was coming for them. This was not the organized march of a spear wall, but the violent charge of 100 men with a thirst for combat and glory. Aleph's men struck the beast men like a wave, collapsing the integrity of their line in an instant, the center breaking under the weight of the Elon charge. Soon it was less of a formation than a gaggle of independent skirmishes, their leader brought low by Aleph's blade, their pocketed soldiers struggling to break free of the Elon that had them encircled on all sides. There would be no surrender taken, no quarter given, and no retreat allowed.
The Fighting First attacks Beastman formation. Attack value, 1,900 versus defense value, 731. The pointy third deals 61 damage to Beastman formation. Beastman formation attacks the fighting first. Attack value, 731 versus defense value, 1,900. Beastman formation deals 5 damage to the fighting first. Beastman formation has been destroyed.
I believe that victory should be to your liking, Field Marshal,
Valseris asked with a certain sense of self-satisfaction. Caden returned the man's smile.
I don't think I could have asked them to do any better. You'll have to give me some tips on the proper etiquette to honor their deeds when they return.
With pleasure.
He turned to speak to Silver, and instead found the dark-haired mage studying an open window on the warframe.
The Fighting First, Formation, Type, Infantry, Elon, Level 1, 15% to next level, Unit Count, 100 out of 100, Formation Bonus, plus 6, HP, 95 out of 100, MP, 0 out of 0, TP, 100 out of 100, Move, 4 of 8. Attack. 1,852. 10 base, minus 2 equipment, plus 6 formation, plus 2 leadership, plus 1 war master bonus. Defense. 1,852. 10 base, plus 2 equipment, plus 6 formation, plus 2 leadership, plus 1 war master bonus. Special. None. Resistances. None. Weaknesses. None. The Pointy Third. Formation. Type. Spear Infantry. Elan. Level. 1. 5% to next level. Unit count. 100 out of 100. Formation bonus. Plus 6. HP. 98 out of 100. MP. 0 out of 0. TP. 100 out of 100. Move. 3 of 8. Attack. 1,337. 10 base, plus 6 formation, plus 2 leadership, plus 1 war master. Defense. 2,475. 10 base, plus 6 formation, plus 2 leadership, plus 1 war master. Special. None. Resistances. None. Weaknesses. None.
Something caught your eye? Caden asked after several moments of studying the same screens.
Hmm?
Silver asked.
He was about to repeat himself when the words finally processed inside her mind, and she indicated a number of fields.
The math seemed wrong to me. Didn't you notice?
You mean the War Master bonus?
At her nod, he continued.
I found it on the frame this morning. I can designate any unit on our side as War Master, and that unit gives half their leadership, rounded up, as a bonus to all units. The full bonus, in the event that they are actually with the unit.
Why not assign Valseris?
She asked.
He has a plus 4. I don't think they'd even have scratched our units if you had.
Caden winced.
I need a control case.
The smirk was already beginning to form on her face, and he quickly continued his thought in an effort to get ahead of it.
The next fight, I'll nominate Valseris and see how much XP I get towards leadership.
Ah, so all that about not putting them at risk goes by the wayside when it comes to leveling up your skills, hmm?
No.
His cheek hurt from biting down on it. He didn't need another argument.
I tried putting Valseris in charge, and it doesn't give us any access to new tactics. I need to know whether or not I get the same XP regardless of who is in charge because the tactics might be make or break in some fights.
Chill, chill. I was only teasing.
Silver held her hands up in surrender.
No, you weren't, he thought. Still, he decided to drop the subject, returning his attention to the frame. Decent experience for combat as well. If we can find other fights like this, we can feed them levels pretty quickly.
I was thinking the same.
Silver directed his attention to the third company.
If I had to guess, I'd say 5 experience for a fight and an extra 10 for a kill.
Which means our best strategy against things we can beat and contain is to come at them in defensive formations to maximize the number of times we get to swing at them, Caden mused.
Depending on how quickly they heal,
Silver clarified.
Which, I suppose, we'll find out as soon as the turn ends.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, though, Caden reached for the warframe and selected Bastion's second. A line glowed between the unit and their destination as he directed them from their support position to the mine itself. The moment the second crossed the threshold of the hex, the mine option on the nearby production menu began to glow. It pulsed for a few seconds, just long enough to draw Caden's attention, before settling down into the same neutral color as all of his other active options. The mine was theirs now. With such an invitation, it would have felt almost rude to ignore it.
Mine development. It's about time that you mine some iron.
1 of 1. Cost, 30 production. Production, plus 5 when worked. Iron resource now available.
Caden, are you drooling?
Silver asked.
Only a little,
he shot back without the slightest hint of embarrassment.
A +5 bonus to production would be enormous by itself alone, to say nothing of the ability to produce new unit equipment. He almost swapped over to production of the mine then and there, but he held off on two counts. The first was that any time workers were pulled off a project, it lost all progress made by the removed workers, which would be a substantial loss in the case of the lower township repairs. The second was that caveat. When worked. They'd all be best served if he spoke to Roberta about its meaning, before jumping that particular gun.
Might I make a recommendation, sir?
Field Marshal he could take, but Valseris calling him sir? They were going to have a talk about that later.
Please. An area subject to recent infestation is likely to have substantial rewards.
A hand reached up to pull on one end of his waxed mustache as he spoke. Perhaps not the best visual image when one was talking about looting the dead, but Valseris didn't seem to notice the issue.
If we were to instruct the second to search the mines before ordering them back, it could prove beneficial.
I was already planning on ordering a sweep to be sure we didn't miss anyone, Caden smiled broadly.
We'll just call that an extra incentive.
Of course, Marshal.
With the unit still selected, Caden double-tapped the banner that served as their visual representation. A small menu sprung to life just above it, with new contextual options due to their location. Site search was at the top of the list, and Caden gleefully selected it.
This formation will be unavailable for 3 turns while site searching. Are you sure? Y. N.
Well, that is a bit of a kick in the teeth, Caden frowned.
The plan had been to have all 3 units back inside Bastion by the end of the midday turn, but that wasn't going to happen. They could withdraw the other 2, but he wasn't particularly excited about the idea of leaving a 1/5 of his combat strength out by itself with backup 1/2 a turn out of reach. Silver appeared to have the same idea, judging by the intensity by which she had begun to study the map.
We could leave the 1st and 2nd on site, then move the 3rd into the field, here, she indicated. Puts them halfway between Bastion and the mine, with enough move left to support both.
Works for me,
he concurred, already directing the 3rd to spend its remaining movement in order to start them on their way. With that done, he reached out and selected Y on the waiting menu. Immediately, the 2nd moved into action, their miniature representations moving about like so many ants on the tabletop. They were building a camp, constructing some small measure of fortification and comfort. It was a good idea, actually, one he had the 1st replicate with the remainder of their turn. A unit with no less than 1/2 its remaining move was allowed to take the fortification action during its turn. This involved digging trenches, setting stakes, even setting up temporary watchtowers. It increased both the unit's sight radius from 2 hexes to 3, as well as gave it a 10% bonus to defense that was stackable up to a total of 40%.
So what now?
Silver asked. Caden shrugged.
I guess now we wait.
Chapter 12. Day 1. Midday turn. Resources. F. 240 plus 10. Z. 140 plus 10. M. 120 plus 10. I. 150 plus 20. P. Plus 17. R. Plus 10.
Ah. Well, that sucks.
A succinct way to phrase it, yes, Field Marshal.
Roberta replied, her brow wrinkled in consternation.
She hated being the bearer of bad news, he had discovered. Being the one who had to tell him that the city would not be able to work the iron mines for the increased bonus to production until its population exceeded 1,000 certainly qualified.
Hmm. Nothing for it, Caden replied with a shrug. Even so, depending on what happens with the lower township once this phase of repairs is completed, we may start work on it anyways, if only to have immediate access to the iron for steel production.
That seemed to give her pause.
Will you be sending me to oversee the construction?
He hadn't considered that. The Warframe abstracted things to a degree that it was incredibly easy to forget that he wasn't just playing a game, but giving orders. If he assigned Roberta to work on a project miles away from the city itself, he doubted she'd be available for these briefings. Which could be trouble when he still spent half the day plying her with questions.
I don't think so.
Relief sagged the petite woman's shoulders, visible enough to prompt a question.
I take it you didn't want to go?
Field Marshal, I would never...
Roberta.
His interruption was as stern as a 16-year-old could manage when talking to an adult woman.
First off, Caden, please. Secondly, I'm not mad. Just curious.
Her bright eyes remained briefly guarded before at last she sighed.
Caves unnerve me at the best of times. Recently monster-infested caverns more so.
You do realize I wouldn't be sending you out with anything less than a full company as your bodyguard, right?
You...
She started, taken aback by the statement.
I did not realize that.
He reached out, placing a hand on her shoulder. She felt small under his grip, and it felt odd to reassure her in such a fashion, but the way her expression softened eliminated any measure of awkwardness from the moment.
I don't exactly have a wealth of mages. He felt her stiffen at that, but pressed on. And fewer confidants. I don't think I can handle losing you to some leftover critter in a dungeon.
Thank you,
the woman replied, a tentative smile at last playing across her lips.
Ending up as a meal is not so high on my preferences either.
Caden cocked an eyebrow.
They eat people?
Beast men?
She snorted.
I am fairly convinced they'd eat anything not nailed down, if only so they could save the nails for last. Why, I once...
Begging your pardon, Field Marshal.
The unexpected voice belonged to a lightly armored soldier in the strategy room doorway. How long he had been there, waiting for a moment to interject, was hard to tell, but from the way his chest was heaving, Caden suspected it hadn't been long.
Can I help you?
Caden asked. They had been so busy over these first few days that Caden had barely set foot outside the keep itself, let alone fraternized enough with the troops to begin to attach names to faces.
Sandoval, sir. I'm a runner attached to the keep guard.
The soldier kept a strict posture despite his quickened breath.
I've been dispatched from the front gate. We have several individuals requesting an audience.
Assigning troops to the front gate had been Valseris's suggestion. At the time, it had seemed like a bit of comical theater. The walls were so damaged and porous that there seemed little purpose in stationing troops at the one place an enemy was unlikely to approach. Valseris had rebutted him by suggesting it as training for once the walls were fully repaired. Apparently, he would owe the mustachioed Lord General an apology.
"Did they seem dangerous?" Caden asked.
That they'd arrived at the gate at all suggested they were friendly, but there was no harm in asking.
My impression was that they were locals. Only one of the group was armed in any meaningful way.
Caden looked to Roberta.
We did expect civilians to arrive, she said. We are counting on it, in fact.
Let them in. Keep them under guard, but be polite and respectful at all times, Caden relayed to the runner. I'll receive them individually in my study once the...
In the throne room,
Roberta cut in.
The Field Marshal will receive them in the throne room.
Well, that explains that, Caden thought. He'd been wondering what sort of audiences the throne room was going to throw at him. After a few seconds, it became apparent that the soldier was waiting, that with two conflicting orders, he wasn't willing to depart without further guidance.
No sense in arguing, I suppose. Throne room it is.
You look positively regal, Caden.
Shifty's voice dripped with sarcasm as he watched his party leader ascend the short flight of steps up the dais where the throne awaited.
That is Field Marshal Caden Keros III.
Celia chimed in with her best approximation of a posh British accent.
The fourth, actually, Caden corrected.
Huh?
Caden C. Keros IV, he explained. I come from a long line of alliterative names.
You're joking,
Silver replied, deadpan.
Am I?
The Magi studied his face for several long moments.
I honestly can't tell, she frowned. But I am going to find out.
No, you aren't, he replied sweetly.
Before she could form a proper response, the doors at the far side of the throne room opened with a groan of ancient wood on even older hinges. A row of 10 guardsmen flanked either side of a small gaggle of individuals, with Roberta at their head. They looked a mixed bunch. The lead pair wore earth tones, browns, and beige clothing stained with soil and grime. He'd come across enough farmers in his time in Babel, hell, even his time back home, to be able to recognize their kind on sight. Behind them came a more well-dressed female, her clothing free of dust or damage. An aristocrat, perhaps? Or something else? The older man who brought up the rear of the procession was so heavily armed that Caden mistook him for a player at first. Only the vibrant, unnatural emerald of the man's eyes, staring out from beneath a loose shock of red hair, hinted at his true nature. In the few minutes they'd had to prepare, Roberta had given him a crash course on what to do, what to say, and how to act with his visitors. But he was already grating against the rules she'd laid down. He felt it was polite to rise to greet guests, but a man of his position was to remain seated and detached. He needed to speak crisply, formally, and most importantly, he needed to choose his words carefully.
"Greetings and well met,"
Caden said once the trio had reached the foot of the dais, doing his best to adopt a tone of authority he most certainly did not feel. It had the intended effect on only one of the three petitioners, the farmers taking the customary knee while the latter two merely inclined their heads in greeting.
"I have been informed that you have requested an audience."
"Yes, my lord,"
the lead bear said in unison, their heads still downcast. Now that they were closer, Caden could see a distinct familial resemblance between the two, the younger of the two burly tanned Elon the spitting image of his elder. Even their unique coloration, the crop of stark white hair atop their heads, seemed to match, though the older man's was peppered with a handful of black strands. A son, then? Or perhaps a nephew?
"Well, I must say, it is nice to have visitors," he smiled, despite Roberta's frown. "You've come to speak, so let us speak."
"Yes, of course. Thank you."
"Preferably with you standing," Caden added. "I am as new to this as you are, but I don't think either of us wants me to be having a conversation with the tops of your heads."
That much earned a laugh from the younger of the two, which in turn brought a sharp glance from his senior as the two returned to their feet.
"Yes, you are right, my lord. We've come to..."
"My lord the marshal, if I may,"
the well-dressed woman interrupted the farmer's mid-sentence.
"I understand the brief delay in our audience, but surely our matter is more important than anything these two have to say."
At Caden's left, Silver raised an eyebrow.
"And you are?"
"Dame Gustava Bonaventura,"
the woman retorted plainly.
"Though I am speaking to the marshal, not to you."
To her credit, Silver didn't snap back, despite the other woman's tone. If anything, she appeared bemused by the reply. Instead of engaging her, Caden turned his attention to Roberta.
"Which of the three arrived first?"
"They are currently in the order of arrival, as per your request, Field Marshal."
"Thank you, Roberta,"
he replied, turning his attention briefly back to Gustava.
"If your issue is so pressing that you needed to be the first to speak with me, you should have arrived sooner."
One hand raised to forestall her reply. "I will hear from them, then I will hear from you. Now, gentlemen, where were you?" The two exchanged looks before the older of the pair began again.
"We've come on behalf of a group of nearby homesteads to request assistance securing our lands against local banditry."
"How many do you represent?" he asked.
41 farms in total, my lord."
"And how many bandits?" This time it was Michael who spoke, leaving the Elon struggling to look between one player and the other.
"If my companions have questions, you may answer them," Caden said with his most reassuring smile.
The man nodded.
"It is difficult to say.
A few dozen at most, we believe.
Not exactly a challenge while we have an army at our backs,
Celia remarked.
Assuming we don't just do it ourselves, Shifty added.
Caden wasn't convinced.
Our assistance is certainly a possibility, he said, watching a smile blossom on the elder man's face, only to falter as Caden continued. But I have to ask, why us?
M'lord?
You say there are 40 farms. Each has at least one able-bodied individual, no? Caden pressed. So why not a militia to deal with the issue before now?
It is as you say, m'lord. The issue isn't combating them, it is finding them.
Which means patrols and scouts, Silver mused, catching on to Caden's concerns.
And time, which we have a limit of.
M'lord, you must—
This isn't a no, Caden interrupted. You will be our guests here for the night. Once I've discussed the issue with my advisors, I will give you my answer.
His attention turned to one of the nearby soldiers.
Escort them to one of the guest quarters, and send for Valseris to question them as soon as he is available.
Of course, m'lord. Thank you.
The older man cast a scathing glance to the youth beside him for having tried to argue the point, then bowed at the waist.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Caden nodded to the two men, trying to contain the wince that threatened a twitch at his left eye. Silver was right. Depending on the location of the farms and the amount of effort required to protect them, he might have to turn them down, even if helping them felt like the right thing to do in the moment.
Gustavo, was it?
He asked then, turning his attention to the next pair in line as the farmers departed the throne room through a side door.
Dame Gustavo Bonaventura,
the uptight nobleman replied with visible irritation.
Apologies. As I said, I'm rather new at this.
His admission did nothing to mollify her. Indeed, she seemed somehow more irritated by it as he continued.
If there are some formalities I am unaware of, perhaps Roberta can arrange them before we...
She shook her head derisively.
No, my lord. This will be sufficient.
Then how can we help you?
The mine you recently purged. The one currently held by your troops. We would like it returned.
Caden arched an eyebrow at that.
Returned?
The mine in question is a part and a parcel of our ancestral lands, bestowed upon the Bonaventura family in perpetuity.
I was unaware of this.
He glanced to Roberta, who offered only an uncertain shrug by way of reply.
Who bestowed this land upon your family?
Why, the great emperor himself.
The dame replied, her body drawn to rigid attention as if merely saying his name had stiffened her spine.
To his right, Shifty offered a derisive snort, but Caden continued without acknowledging it. Hard to argue with that. Do you have the deed with you?
The deed?
Is that not the correct word?
He cocked his head to one side as he rattled off alternatives.
The title? Contract? Bill of sale, perhaps?
Pride gave way to anger as Gustavo's face twisted into a sneer.
The great emperor did not deal in anything so petty as paperwork.
Well, I do. Indeed, the paperwork that I received with my claim of Bastion explicitly grants ownership of all terrain and resources within 10 miles of the city.
That mine
was overrun by beastmen as recently as this morning, Caden interrupted. You must admit that somewhat weakens any claim you have to ownership. Possession being 9/10 and all.
Hands clenched and nostrils flared, but to her credit, Gustava lingered just long enough in her reply to let her anger subside.
We did not have the force to hold the mine,
she admitted.
Which was why I rode for your keep when one of Duke Elazio's messengers informed me that you had taken possession of the ruins here.
You've spoken to the Duke's messengers?
Yes.
Then you know why I was given possession of the keep to begin with, he pressed.
I do.
And why would I be understandably reluctant to relinquish control of a nearby iron mine?
My lord, your needs.
Caden cut her off. My needs are your needs. One hand raised to gesture back the way she came. You saw our walls upon your arrival.